time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. And there's nothing like a Crown forklift for picking it up and putting it down. Check them out at crown.com or call 131 604. No risk, no worries. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Wednesday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dane.
How are you, Mickey?
Here we are on the cusp of State of Origin 3.
Bring it.
A big night. Mm. Is it a whitewash? Doesn't happen often.
No.
Could go that way unless Queensland come up with the goods. We'll speak to the great MG.
Mark Geyer.
Love him. Will be on deck. And the comedy department, Denise Scott's going to join us. We're going to have an apocalypse watch. There's COVID. Has gone bonkers.
Sneaks
all
around
the country.
It?
We're going to have what is un-Australian.
Oh, good.
Because there's a few people who are stepping up to the plate with un-Australian activity. So we're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your tweets. So much to wade through on the big program.
Let's get into it. And it's thanks to Crown Forklifts.
Oh,
there's
Crown.
Nothing quite like a Crown for picking it up or putting it down. 131-604 is their number. It is Molloy and it starts right now.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
We interrupt this program.
My message is...
How dare you?
Apocalypse Watch!
This is not a test.
The world has been of a mass
Molloy.
Apocalypse Watch.
All right, let's go around the grounds, everybody. New South Wales, still in the wars. Mm. New South Wales Premier Glaz Berejiklian has announced the lockdown in Greater Sydney will be extended for 2 weeks. 97 new cases of COVID were detected. Here's how she made the announcement.
To 8 p.m. last night, New South Wales recorded 97 cases of community transmission. Unfortunately, 24 of those were infectious in the community. We need to extend the lockdown a further 2 weeks from Friday the 16th of July to Friday the 30th.
This thing spreads, doesn't it?
That's terrible news for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And our hearts go out to everyone running small business, trying to keep the head above water.
It's devastating.
We've
really
just got to, I mean, that's why it's so important that we do everything we can to manage this. And by that, I mean, go and get your injection.
Stop
being a dick and go and get jabbed.
It's the only way out.
It is the only way out.
We're not going to repair it otherwise.
If we want to get out of this holding pattern we've been in now
Sick
for 18 months.
Sick of it.
Think of others, if not yourself, and do the right thing.
Yep.
Victoria also, it's never far away, this thing. 8 new cases of coronavirus today announced with the big one, the MCG.
Yeah.
It's now an exposure site.
Mm.
Jeez.
Yep.
That's the worst thing to hit the MCG since meatloaf. Meatloaf or the rabbit terrine. Remember the rabbit terrine?
No, I do
that
not.
That took down a few.
Did it really?
It did take There was a rabbit. It was on Anzac Day and someone brought out the rabbit terrine and nearly took out about 50
diggers. So this is like
diggers.
In the members area, isn't it? Like
the MCC,
right.
I should point out too, the average age is about 90.
Yeah.
So if COVID rips through there, that'll take 25 years off the waiting list.
Right. No, it takes forever to become a member. Yeah.
As a Richmond supporter, though, I'm still preferring to duke it out at the MCG than travel to Marvel.
Oh, it's across town. It's less than a kilometre away.
So far away.
Must be awful for Richmond supporters.
So there it is. In Sydney, let's go back to Sydney, a man's got 4 COVID vaccinations.
What?
He's gone 2 AstraZeneca and 2 Pfizer. He's double me.
No, it can't be any good.
That's one in each arm and one in each bot. I reckon that's...
What does that do to you, I wonder?
Well, apparently you can double shot. Apparently you can do 1 AstraZeneca, 1 Pfizer,
you
1
can
Pfizer,
mix
AstraZeneca.
It up.
But,
yeah,
I mean, this guy, he's just gone straight to the front of the queue and back. He'll be... I don't know.
He'll be glowing.
He'll be tested by WADA.
That's right.
What's going on?
Bit of an idiot.
He'll have forearms like Popeye.
That's right, with his can of spinach.
Anyway, stop hogging it, mate.
That's it. Exactly right. Other people are waiting to get their vaccines. You know, you've had your turn.
I'll tell you, he's not mucking around, that's the French.
What are they doing?
The French rush for the vaccines. Now, we've told you this before. Okay. Well, the French have... It's like the running of the bulls. They're heading for vaccinations.
Okay.
You know why? Because they told them they need them if they want to go to a cafe.
Oh, you got to have a
you yeah, got to have your jab. Oh, Jesus, I'm off. He's, just have a listen to the report.
This so-called sanitary pass, whereby you have to show either proof of vaccination or a negative test in the last 48 hours in all kinds of social activities, to the movie theater, a theater, a restaurant, a bar, concert hall, and all the rest.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a... I want to go to a cafe. It's nothing like that to get the French up in arms.
Sanitary
pass. Because you remember the last time they said... They wanted to have essential workers named as sommeliers.
That's
There was a push to make sommeliers essential workers so they could get in the front of the queue because what they needed. Them and cheesemakers.
Well done,
and
France.
Mimes. And they also...
Marcel.
They also have a mime taking a jab.
Good too.
Hey, I'm taking my vaccine jab into the wind.
With your beret on. It's very, very catching.
And also, remember my other favourite French story was involving at least 81 people. At an orgy.
Go on.
Now, I don't know where the line is. What COVID, I don't know what social distancing is. But I'm guessing 81 people at an orgy is not doing it.
And again, 81 is not an even number. So, I mean, that's... The math
you're fascinated.
I am.
You're thinking of one wallflower there. Okay. Hey, guys, seriously. Guys.
Over here. What about me?
Tag me.
Have a go.
Tag me.
All right.
All right, and now when we get back, I'm going to give you one more bit of COVID news, but it's going to form the basis of our segment called Un-Australian, which we want you to get in on because this is an un-Australian activity directly related to COVID that has caused great anger in the community. I think you may already know what I'm talking about.
All right, we'll come back with it.
Jeez.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
It's one of the most commonly used insults in the Aussie vernacular.
It's un-Australian.
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 I should know. I've been Australian all my life.
They'll be telling us how many beers they had, Nick.
And another thing is, it's un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
I have no time for this. We, as we said, it's a batten down the hatches time in this country. No matter where you are, along the eastern seaboard mainly, but, you know, the Perth, the WA and South Australia, they're on red
Northern
alert.
Northern Territory,
But COVID is real, it's here, and it's affecting the way we live. Some people, however, think they are above the rules, like the corporate high flyer from Melbourne who went on an $18,000 a day super yacht. He left from Sydney to go to Brisbane to watch rugby. Now, here's how it was reported.
A Melbourne-based millionaire has been identified as one of the four yachties who entered Queensland from COVID-ravaged Sydney before attending a rugby test match in Brisbane. The men have been fined more than $4,000 each and sent into hotel quarantine.
You are a massive dick. You are a... What a knob. No, seriously, the rules are the rules, mate. That's why we're here. I don't get you know, I identify with it. Do you want to go see a football match? Yeah. We all do. I think I get you. I
so
get
many
you
things
how
we
badly
do.
You want to be there and do it. But the rules are the rules. And
you can see how it changes. Like in Melbourne, for instance, there was these removalists from Sydney who broke the rules with their permits.
The rules.
Look
well,
what's happened.
Now we've got a Melbourne guy living in Sydney trying to get to Queensland. And
idiots.
Do you think you're better than everyone else? Do you think you deserve to live
what gives you the right?
By a different set of rules? That's right up there as un-Australian activity, as faking cancer and wearing fake war medals, I reckon. I can't think of anything
right up there
worse that they're worse. So let's do it. Un-Australian activities. 1-3-3-5-3. I've got a couple.
All right. Well, fire away, Nick.
While we're talking about the Wallabies, here's un-Australian. Wallabies not on free-to-air. I reckon last night, a good 10 minutes, thinking I must be really drunk, but
here
I cannot find the Wallabies v France
on
TV. 10,
nine,
I run right
7,
through it all.
SBS.
Then I go Foxtel. I run right through it all.
KO.
And then they
there.
Got nothing. And I find out this morning it's on some subsidiary of Nine. So if it's a national team.
Was it on Stan? Stan Sport. Yeah, okay. Stan. So it was subscription. Yeah, so you have to have a Stan subscription. Okay.
It's a national team.
I'm with you, mate.
It's a national team.
Why can't we get behind it for free to wear for everybody who doesn't have to pay?
It's bloody un-Australian.
All right.
It's bloody
un-Australian.
I'm on a roll now. I'll give you another one.
Give us another one.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Not turning up for the Olympics.
It's bloody un-Australian.
Why is that?
Because he's gone Sooky La La, because he played like a dick for Philadelphia in the finals.
Yep.
He's sooked up.
Okay.
He's had a tough one, and now he's gone, you know what? I'm not going to Japan. I'm not going to represent my country. I'm just devastated. Do you know what it would mean to every kid who plays basketball in this country? Do you understand what it would mean for the game in Australia? Do you understand what enjoyment we would get out of watching him represent Australia at the Olympics?
He's remunerated very well. He's very well paid for his sport. I'm sure he can let it go and play for your country.
It's your national team.
National team, yeah. You, that is un-Australian.
You idiot. COVID at the MCG. Oh. That's un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
1-3-3-5-3. Get involved. Give us a call.
What is un-Australian? Might win a prize as well. It is Malloy. Coming up, Denise Scott too. And Mark Guy, MG, head of State of Origin 3 tonight.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
It's one of the most commonly used insults in the Aussie vernacular.
It's un-Australian.
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 I should know. I've been Australian all my life.
They'll be telling us how many beers they had, Nick.
And another thing is, it's un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
That's what it's all in honour of today for this corporate dick who thinks he's better than everyone else.
On his yacht.
Went on his yacht with his staff. $80,000 a day it cost him to hire it. Thought, I can live by different rules.
Yeah.
And off he went to watch the Wallabies. And it's in his honour today. By the way, I'm copping a caning here.
What's happened?
Well, people are suggesting it was on free-to-air last night. And it wasn't. Craig.
Mate.
What was it on?
It was on Gem, mate. 9 Gem.
Yeah, but, mate, I don't get 9 Gem.
Well, where do you live? You live in Victoria, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's why. You live in New South Wales, mate. God's country.
All right, but your behaviour's a bit un-Australian yourself, Craig. I only put you to air because there are a few callers going, Malloy, you're a dickhead.
Mm.
But I don't believe that in. I flipped through everything and I don't have. I've had this argument with 9
before.
What
do you mean you don't have 9?
Because you don't get Gem if you're on Foxtel or whatever. I'm on the dish.
So all your free-to-air channels come through your Foxtel box?
I don't want to give too much away.
Well, if that's what it is,
what's happening at
you
home?
Can probably put it into your Foxtel box. James would know that, our resident nerd.
We've had this discussion before.
Okay. Thank you, James.
As the resident tech nerd and as the person who answers all the phone lines, please don't ring. Please don't tell Mick how to do it. He's not going to listen. There's no way that we can make this happen. It just, he doesn't get
you. Thank you. Channel 9 rang me directly once and said, do you want to get us sorted?
And it was a little bit difficult.
You're missing on some great channels, though, like, Nine Life.
Well, and just make it easier, mate. Just put it on the friggin'
most people
satellite. Jesus.
Okay.
Duke Craig. I didn't like his style, but I didn't like his tone.
Case
but
of Brick Lane draft for you, Craig and Wallsman. Thanks, mate. Thanks for calling.
All right, well done. Anthony's on the line. Anthony, who do you want to do? Who do you want to claim as un-Australian? Hmm.
Well, I reckon the people who are giving out parking fines for the Sydneyers that are getting COVID tested.
Now,
un-Australian.
Is this actually happening, Anthony? Because I know this happened in Victoria when people first started going to the vaccination sites and you had to keep your car moving or the engine on because if you turned your engine off, the parking officers would come by and go, well, you're parked.
Well, that is un-Australian.
That is bloody un-Australian. Anthony, have you seen this yourself?
I have not, but I've heard multiple people say that to them. A few of my friends, actually, they said, getting tested, doing the right thing, and, parking inspectors coming up being like...
Jeez, that is evil.
I'd rip the ticket up in
front
of them.
That's no good. That's a particular brand of nasty.
Complete nasty.
That is. Duke him, Dave.
A case of Brick Lane draft.
What about taking Paul there on line 3, please?
Yes, let's go to Paul. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Yeah, I'm right with you on this one, mate. go for your life, buddy. Yeah, Duke mate. Him now.
Yeah, look, vegan protesters, mate. Everyone's
un-Australian.
Enjoying their hamburgers, and along come the vegan protesters. Out the front of the shop, drumming up their vegan crap, whatever it is. Go to a park where no one can hear you.
Leave us
you,
alone. Leave us alone. Go and do your thing. Who's this mad chick running around into KFCs with blood on her dress? I'm going, come on.
Nah.
Come on. The Colonel wasn't bad.
Leave the Colonel alone.
He's not even a real Colonel.
He's a fake Colonel. That's the chicken's right. Already in a bucket. There's nothing much you can do about it.
Move on.
Chicken's gone. The chicken's flown the coop. It never will again.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Jeez. Go to the cockfights or something. You know what I mean? Do something positive. Duke him, Dave.
case of Brick Lane Draft. Available at Dan Murphy's on its way for you there as well, Paul.
James has joined us. Yes. Something terribly un-Australian you did, which was pilfer all the office beers. Is that true? Okay. While I was away?
Okay.
Tell me what happened.
Okay, so there was some beers.
You're telling me some beer arrived.
Yes.
And you took it home.
Yes.
And when I arrived, the beer that arrived at the office was no longer there.
No. So it was left on my desk.
It's bloody
un-Australian.
James.
Okay.
You don't take the office beers home.
May I present my defence?
You know what that is? That's as un-Australian as cheating on your footy tips.
Oh, yeah.
There
okay.
it is.
Right up
there. There it is.
Okay.
Why don't you just go in and change the footy tips on the wall while you're at it?
I
what did you do?
So there was some. There was a box of beers on my desk. There was also a box of wine that was on my desk. And it was the day before my birthday.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's really
nice.
It's
a case of beer, by the way. It's not a box.
Sorry. Okay. So there was a case of beer there. And I thought, that's really nice. Clearly some people are thinking of me. I actually thought it was the team that had sent all of this alcohol. So
us to you.
Yeah. I thought, oh, that's really nice.
God, and you're in fantasy land.
You're adorable.
So I pick it up, I take it home.
A sour beer. It's one of those. Oh, no. What do they call those new ones? That are
The sours and the IPAs and the hazies.
All right, enough. Now, where's the beer?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's currently at home. I'm refrigerating it. I haven't consumed it because I've got a couple of beers to work through at the moment. And I am debating whether or not I can.
I thought you were a Pinot Gris man.
Yeah.
Oh,
remember
when
you tried to do your washing after a bottle of Pinot Gris?
Yeah, it wasn't great. I ended up putting all of my soiled washing into the dryer. Nearly broke the Miele. Got a new Miele now.
Enough.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
You get the idea. We might keep taking your calls if we can.
Get involved.
133353.
What's un-Australian? It's Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
It is game three, State of Origin tonight. And MG, Mark Guy's going to join us soon, talking about that. And Denise Scott in the second hour as well. As always, lots of fun. But un-Australian right now. You can get involved, 133353.
That's what we're talking about, all in honour of this corporate eye flyer who thought the rules didn't apply to him. And off he went in his super yacht to watch the rugby. Flouting all the COVID rules, thinking he didn't have to behave like the rest of us. What is the un-Australian activity you'd like to draw our attention to? Troy's on the line.
G'day, Mick.
G'day, Troy. What is it, buddy?
Calling in sick when you're actually unwell.
Okay. What are you saying? Yeah, it should be reserved for when you're not when you are actually just taking a sickie.
Yeah, when you want to go to the races or go fishing or.
When you ruin it for everyone who's taking a sickie.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you are unwell, go to work.
Exactly.
I hear what you're saying, Troy. Thanks for the call. Jamie's on the line. Jamie, un-Australian activity. Who is it?
Oh, Jamie.
No. Phones,
I can't seem
that is bloody un-Australian.
That's un-Australian too, yeah.
There it is.
I can go Danny, but I can't go Jamie for
whatever. Let's try Danny, shall we? No. That's
got Danny. Hey, Danny.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Good,
yeah, man. Good. Un-Australian activity, mate.
Mate, the Moon Man. The Moon Man.
Oh, the Moon Man.
What's happened?
What's he done?
Well, mate, he was caught in Byron Bay.
Preaching COVID restrictions. I believe he's fallen on his sword.
Oh.
Done his mea culpa.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He's up in Byron Bay with Theresa Green, mate. I'm the green, I'd say.
Well, you make a good point, I think Moon Man has addressed it from his ivory tower.
Mm.
We all take our whack when it's our turn. Well done, Danny. Dave's on the line. Dave, un-Australian activity.
Going,
yeah, who is it?
Oh, that Nick Kyrgios.
What's
happened? He's a dick.
He's a dick? What's he done now?
What's Nick done?
Oh, apparently he's pulled out of the Olympics because there's not going to be anyone in the stadium, in the crowd.
Yeah. Gips.
You know?
Un-Australian. That's bloody
un-Australian.
No, that's right. Everyone else. You know what it is? Some of these athletes, this is what also annoys me about the Olympics, is these guys should get out of the way. Anyway, sometimes because Olympics is for sports you only follow every 4 years.
Yep.
So imagine if and this is where people like Kyrgios take it for granted, or it's a novelty to win a gold medal or whatever. Mm. It's like it's not that important to you.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If you've been practicing badminton for 4 years,
table
you're
tennis.
Not going to not turn up because the crowds aren't there. You're going to go,
right.
This is my discipline. This is what I do.
Here's my chance to represent.
If you throw a javelin,
you're
going to go, I don't care. Yeah. I need to see where I am in the world,
and
this
Olympian.
Is what I do. But ever since the professional athletes have been welcomed back into
looking
the fold.
Looking down their nose at the Olympics.
Yeah, I might do the Olympics. Yeah, I might not. I'll see where I go. I'm Ben Simmons. Well, I'm Nick Kyrgios. You know what? Maybe get out of the way.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's right. Who's next?
Well done, Dave. Duke him.
Case of Brick Lane as well, draft coming your way.
Are we going to try Jamie again, aren't we?
I can't get Jamie. Jamie will not pick up on my system here.
He will not pick up. All right. Well, I think we'll call it a day on that one. When we come back, it's time for the great MG.
This is Malloy.
State of Origin at the Cauldron. State of Origin at Lang Park. Player comes to the right. Tedesco. Out it comes. A pedestrian Barone defence and John Adokar. Mitchell's into the clear. Gagai's chasing. Gagai gaining a little bit. It's all. And Latrell, he killed Queensland in game one, and he's doing it again. Murray dummies, gets bus coats. Now it goes to Trbojevic. On to Adokar, down the sideline. Gives it here to Tom Trbojevic, scores. Tedesco flips it down to Adokar. Adokar slips inside one and just bumps over. This has been one of the truly great Origin performances. The New South Wales Blues have crushed the Queensland Maroons. 26-0.
Ooh. There it is. Game three kicks off at 8:10 tonight. Coverage from 7 p.m. on Triple M with Danganane, Wendell Saylor, Mark Geyer, and Ryan Girdler. MG joins us now. So far to date, 76-6.
Yeah.
Have you ever in your adult life witnessed such a lopsided affair in favour of New South Wales?
I couldn't even get their numbers as Keno numbers, let alone. It's unbelievable, Mickey.
Extraordinary.
Since Origin started back in 1980, we went to a three-game series in 1982. There's been seven clean sweeps. New South Wales have had three. Queensland have had four. The last one from us was back in 2000. It looks like it's going to be a blue rinse. We're going to go straight through them again tonight. They are a bit stronger, let me tell you that. They've got some players back, in particular Caelan
Ponga.
Where
have they thickened the soup?
Yeah, I think they've actually thickened the soup at fullback with Caelan Ponga. He's an attacking weapon. Yep. They need him. Ben Hunt, who's usually a number 14 off the bench or a halfback, he's playing number 9, which is hooker. They've moved Capewell into the second row. And the Buing and the young kid from Townsville, who's grease lightning when he runs, the hammer, they call him, Tabby Waifido. He's making his debut. So,
and they're playing for pride now. They really need to make a statement. No Nathan Cleary. How important is that?
Yeah, him and Jerome Luai, the Penrith scrum base, both out for the game with injury. So in comes Mitchell Moses for his debut, and Jack Whiten from Canberra. He'll make his debut, not his debut, but if this series, he will at 5'8". So that's a bit different. I don't think we'll miss a beat, but Tommy Turbo and Latrell Mitchell, the Twin Towers on either side of the field, they're the most dangerous attacking weapons we've got. And at the moment, if Queensland get within 12 points of us, I think they're doing really well.
It's incredible to watch. The ball is thrown around. It's really creative. Everyone's in it. It's like a blitzkrieg.
Yeah.
Gold Coast, who does that favour? Is that a factor?
Ordinarily, you'd say Queensland, but they've had three games up there this year now. And the first one was in Townsville. Second one was at Suncorp, where it was 26-0. The one before that was 50-6. And this is their third game in Queensland, which is unheard of. So, look, everything points to a New South Wales victory. Complacency would be the only thing that would let Queensland in on the game. But I think, and Cameron Munster, he worries me a bit too.
Yep.
Cam Munster is a big game player, and he's been quiet for the first two games. He's due, and I'm thinking tonight he could be Queensland's best player, and I'm hope he is. I hate an uneven fight. I really do. See, in any sport, I like to see a bit of a match. And even when Queensland went through that 8 series in a row beating us, I wanted us to be better, and we weren't. So I hope tonight that Queensland are better and get within at least six points of us.
I think you're right. So given the difference between the two teams, at least in the last couple of tests, do you think this is the start of a dynasty or the changing of a guard? Do you think there's that far apart that this could be trouble for Queensland for a couple of years?
Yeah, I do. I think you're right. This is the start of a dynasty because they're all so young. I think the oldest player in the New South Wales team is 28. They've got about three or four or five players all who have come through the grades together around 23 or 24. who will be there for as long as they want, as long as their form, as long as their form warrants. So yeah, it could be just like Queensland. As I said, they went through, they won eight straight series. They went from 2006 to 2017. We won one series in that time. So look, I think it's our time, Mickey.
It is your time. Just quickly, how are you holding up in lockdown, big fella?
Mm.
Shit.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. It's not a load of fun, is it?
No, it's not. Especially I've only last February got a small business, bought a gym in Penrith, and the first 6 weeks I was open, then closed for 12, and then back open, and then now I'm being closed for another 4 weeks. So it's hard on the family, and it's, but you know what? There's worse off than me, mate.
Well, mate, yeah, I know that, but there's a lot of people hurting, and there's a lot of people who need to play by the rules and get the job done. I think we just need to get vaccinated.
Get the jab.
We need to get the jab. Just get it done. We want to return to our normal life. And you're not the lone ranger on that one, MG. I know heaps of people who are out there. I feel very lucky to have a job that's, you know, largely unaffected. Mm. But it's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be able to come to work and do what we do. And I think in times like these, a show like tonight is important.
Yeah.
And it's for morale and for everyone to understand that some things do go on. Mm. So I think it's great that this game's going ahead. They found the Gold Coast. And I hope it's a cracker for everyone concerned. Good on you, MG.
Beautifully said, Mickey. Well done, mate. Thanks for that.
You got it, Davey. You too, MG. And the game kicks off 8:10 tonight. Coverage from 7 here on Triple M. Check your local guides or through the listener app as well. The great Mark Guy, MG, it's Malloy. This is Triple M.
This is Malloy.
Front Bar, Channel 7 tonight. Don't miss that. Check your local guides. What, 9 o'clock?
Jack Riewoldt is our special guest. Amazing. 300 games for Richmond. And news is true. If you were going to be in our studio audience has just been cancelled, which shows you how it's just a movable feast at the moment with COVID.
No.
So, yeah, well, there's a few scares floating around Melbourne. Channel 7 made the call. Okay. Fair call. So
that's a shame.
Laugh at home.
We will.
Come on, sit at home, get around your telly.
Such a great show. Check your local guys, but the Front Bar, honestly, it's the best.
Coming up in the next hour.
Denise Scott.
Wow. Yeah. In the meantime.
Let's do this.
With Jay, the Song Whisperer.
All right, Jay Mondo, fire away.
All right. It's a bitter rant of a lover scorned. Public relations professional singing about a young woman with the inability to be proven incorrect.
What?
Short and sweet.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
No. No, it doesn't.
Mm. About a young, what, a public relations professional.
Singing about a young woman with the inability to be proven incorrect.
Mm. I don't get you sometimes. And it's a bit of rant of a lover scorn.
Oh, yeah, this guy is not.
I need a lover who won't drive me crazy.
Oh, Mellencamp.
John Mellencamp.
Yeah, play it.
Oh, you've got to give me a second to find it.
I like to think that you've magically got it just at your fingertips.
I need a lover, John Mellencamp, which I think was his biggest hit in Australia before anywhere else in the world. A little fun fact for you. Here it is.
It's a great song.
It is. Song Whisperer.
Public relations professional.
Yeah.
It's about Roxy Jacinco or the poo jogger. That was the poo jogger at the front of her house.
I remember.
Do you remember that?
I know. They never caught that person. Mm. It's a cold case.
Oh, yuck.
What? Jeez Louise, the cold case, it'll be back. That'll be. Imagine being down the cold case files and getting that one. All righty, let's have a look at these old cases.
Open the files.
Hey, what the hell?
Filing cabinet.
What was going on back in 2000?
Should reopen that investigation.
They should reopen that investigation.
Absolutely.
Mm. There's a chalk outline of turd out the front of Rocky Jacinco's.
Like powder.
133353.
Get involved, Song Whisperer.
For the drive home, this is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless, people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be a beauty, too, because waiting in the wings, lathering up.
Yeah.
As we say in the classics.
Do we?
Do we
say lathering up? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Lathering up.
You know, when you...
when you shower and you get some soap, that's when you lather up.
Denise Scott.
Oh, yeah.
She's lathering up.
Okay.
Okay, stop the music. What is wrong with you?
Well, lathering. Oh, that's not like...
No, that's a nice way to...
That's not a term you use for a guest about to appear on a national radio show.
Seems accurate, though.
Jay's with us.
Yeah. Hello.
Jay, you're not offended by that, are you?
Not at all.
Denise Scott, I can see her out there lathering up.
Sure, it sounds great.
We're getting much support in here. By the way, did you see her flirting outrageously? On, have you been paying attention to this with Dr. Is it Norman Swan?
Correct.
It is.
She was some kind of spooky, stalkery kind of something.
She was into him.
Hey, just quickly, by the way, a big hello and thank you. While we're talking about talk music, everyone at Sony sent me a beautiful bottle of wine.
Fenella.
Birthday.
And all the gang down there. I really appreciate it.
Well, I got one too, actually, for my birthday from Sony as well. Thanks from me as well.
It's not so special.
They're a good crew.
Oh, my God, James is saying he got one.
James as well.
All right. We like Sony. Hey, Sony, you need to get on. Send me something else, and it better be good.
The only person.
I need some differentiation between me and the team.
The only person, Mick, who went to the trouble to thank Sony for the gift.
It was me.
Was you. Everybody else is just piling
on. I sent emails to both Claire and Fenella privately from Sony Music to say thank you for the bottle of whiskey.
Well, I'm thanking them publicly.
Yeah.
Because that's the relationship we have.
I'm a bit more personal, but.
You're a bit more stingy. What did they send you?
It was a nice bottle of whiskey. Beautiful. Can't remember the brand.
That sounds more expensive than the bottle of red I got. What did James get?
I don't know.
James has got a Penfolds Pinot.
Wow.
Sony, you need to address this issue quick.
Pinot Gris or a Pinot Noir?
Yeah, well, either way, he's going to end up smashed.
He's a Gris man.
I thought he was a savvy B guy.
Hey, quick, Song Whisperer.
All right.
Change the Song Whisperer. Why is he the only one who got something from Sony? That's why it was special.
It's not all about you all the time.
So you got one for your birthday, and did you get anything?
I got a $50 coffee voucher, which I gave to Whitney.
Joe, you can't re-gift your birthday gift from Sony.
Thank God Whitney didn't get anything. I've just been told Whitney did not get anything from the team at Sony. So thank you. That makes me feel slightly better. All right. Give us the synopsis again, please, Joe.
All right. It's a bitter rant of a lover scorned. Public relations professional singing about a young woman with the inability to be proven incorrect.
All righty. Let's get to the phones. Nick, what do you reckon?
One for you, Dave. I think it's Billy Joel's You May Be Right. Jesus.
Oh, from memory, this is the opening track for Glass Houses as well. You may be right. 41 years old this year.
And it hasn't aged well.
It has. Great song.
What album's that off?
Glass Houses. It's the opening track. It's the one that starts with the glass being smashed. You know, this one here, and it starts with the big bass, you know.
I don't mind it. Fascinating. As Billy Joel's song still, I don't
that
mind
was on
it.
My podcast, by the way, that got pulled. That song, that album.
Now, tell us about your podcast. What happened?
It was the Glass Houses podcast. Apparently, I got pulled because
I nearly got the network sued.
Oh, they didn't like the fact that a bit of music in the podcast, and the publishers apparently were a bit litigious. So, no,
you
never
did
saw
a
the
great
light
job, and it lasted less than 24 hours.
Yeah, apparently Sony weren't happy.
Hey, you should send Sony a bottle. Send Sony a bottle.
We'll get in touch.
Hey, what I love about your birthday is when we tried to get Billy Joel to send us a cheerio, and then we couldn't get on him, so we got a Billy Joel impersonator, and we contacted him to do a cheerio. He goes, I don't think so.
Not interested. Too busy. I don't blame him.
All right, it is not Billy Joel. Steve's on the line. Steve, what are you thinking?
Mate, I'm thinking this might be the Spin Doctors with Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Spin Doctors.
Not my favourite song.
Well, what else would you call a spin
banjo
doctor?
In it or something, isn't it?
What else would you call a spin doctor?
A public relations manager.
And a little miss, a young woman with the inability to be proven incorrect.
And the poo jogger.
Steve Wright.
Nice, right. You got it. Steve, what's he get?
Steve, you've got $200 to go shopping on us. A voucher coming away for the Neverland Store, which is a great amount of streetwear as well. Neverlandstore.com. You have the prize. Well done, Steve.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
And thank you for listening through 99.3 B-Rock in Bathurst as well. So good.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy on Triple M.
And fresh from Currumbin on the Gold
Coast.
Denise Scott on Malloy.
It's been run in Currumbin. You got there, Denise.
Got there eventually. This gig was meant to happen
in March.
We've been promoting it since the Marconi era of radio.
Yes, yes. It's been at least a year and a half promoting it.
Was it worth it when you got there? I mean, the air of expectation must have been over the top.
There was a ticker tape parade when Nate Valvo and I headed to the Currumbin RSL where we were performing upstairs. Look, it was 180 people. Who had, in fact, hung on to their tickets for a year and a half as it kept being postponed. It was postponed four times. Mm. And travelling with Nath Valvo, a young man.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's an experience. He's got a lot of energy, that young
has
man.
Has he? I don't know about that. I toured with Glenn Robbins and Jeff Stilson. And I always like touring and getting out there and thinking, oh, wait. After the show, it's off to the strippers, and we'll all get locked up. And it's gonna be bedlam.
And
I'll be sneaking out a window with my shoes in one hand at about 4 a.m. After the show, I saw them have a fight over a tea bag. There was only 5 tea bags left, and I knew, this is going to end in tears when we get down to it.
Yes.
And they had a fight over the last remaining tea bag. How rock and roll is that?
Well, how rock and roll is this? So Nath Valvo and I, it's the night of the Ash Barty Wimbledon final.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I'm not a sports person, but by God, I was excited. And Currumbin RSL, we thought, well, we'll sit in the sports bar.
Yeah,
with the locals?
With the locals, we'll cheer and scream. Nath, have a drink, Nath. Oh, I don't really drink. Oh, come on, Anyway, so he had a chili margarita. A spicy margarita. I had a classic. And we're sitting down.
What were you on, by the way? You're on the ponies?
A classic. On the what?
The ponies. Well, that's what they used to call them in the old sailor's bars. Yeah, it's like a half beer.
Mm. Yeah, no, I wasn't on the pony, but it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds weird.
Denise's been on the ponies again.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're there, and there's an acoustic. Now, my son's an acoustic singer, musician, so I'm all for them, but good God, he was loud.
Right.
And the tennis is about to happen. So marched up to the manager.
I
was in a terrifying sort of mood. I said, Wimbledon is about to happen.
We're on here.
I love the musician, but could we, is that going to keep playing? He said, no, he'll be finished by midnight. I said, but the tennis starts at 11. And so I walked back, and seriously, Nath Valvo, comedian, had just had his first sip of his spicy margarita. I said, put that down. We're leaving. We're not staying here. We've got to go back to the hotel and watch the tennis in the hotel room. Well, Nath didn't want to come into my room, and I didn't.
On what basis?
Why?
Some kind of a Venus flytrap, wasn't it? He thought you were going to try and turn him off.
You can imagine me and Nate. Anyway, and look, to be
that's
honest.
That's a sitcom, by the way.
I like to take my bra off when I'm watching TV.
I'm with Nate now.
You're in Nate's room. Anyway, but we had rooms next door to one another.
Yes.
So we watched the tennis and texted. That was our exciting
rock. Oh, you weren't in the same room
night.
At all?
No, we weren't in the same room.
Did you have a door with an adjoining door? Or?
Yeah. Well, the rooms were next to one another.
Doesn't sound like a very warm tour. Sounds like you work together on stage and then. Yeah. It's like Dean and Jerry at that stage when they hated each other,
Oh, well, Nath was snapping at me. He was snapping at me.
He's going,
have a look on my phone, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, that looks great. And then I go, actually, I can't see anything. I can't see anything without my glasses. And this happened a number of times. And he's like, will you just get your eyes fixed? And I'm like, excuse me, young man. I'll get around to it sometime. And then I'd have
he's
to
out
run
of
after
it.
He's got to learn respect.
He's got a bit of respect for his elders, I would have thought. I'm glad you got Currumbin out of the way. Yeah. I'm on your side with the guy who sits in the corner and the guitar. I sometimes just want to go up and pay money to say, go now. Yeah. What are they paying you? Here's double. F off. Hit the road, toots. You're not Don McLean now. Never will be. Go.
Well, this guy was good. I have to he was good.
I'm with you.
But a little bit loud. And then when ladies my age, this was a group of them up dancing to the young singer-songwriter. Like they're just... Anyway, it was
one too many chili
times.
Margaritas.
Yeah.
Hang about. You mentioned your son. I believe there's family news. We're going to get to that in just a moment.
All right, Denise Scott's with us.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
We're joined in studio by the great Denise Scott.
True or false, you're about to become a grandmother?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you hesitated. You wanted me to make the announcement.
I was going to go with great-grandmother, but at the last minute I went, no.
Well, I could be.
Well, you could be you should be. You would be a great matriarch of any crime family. Well, any family at all.
It's funny you mention that, crime family, because my daughter, Bonnie, is she's 23 weeks pregnant now, first grandchild.
Oh, this is great news. Congratulations.
Only the other night, but you were talking about crime, yes, matriarchs. She recalled how fierce I was as a mother, and she recalled when I was on a Melbourne tram and I had four young children, my own two and their two friends.
Yes.
So four young kids, little kids.
Yeah.
And there was two gangs of guys at the other end of the tram, you know, getting all
narky. It's getting fruity. Yeah.
And about to punch up. One swung the punch and I just walked in and said, how dare you? How dare you have a fight on a tram in front of these young children? Sit down. You sit down over there and you sit. And by God, they sat down.
They did. I bet
but
you
the
did.
Weird thing was,
very matronly.
As my daughter Bonnie recalled, we had to stay on that tram. Till we got to, because as soon as we got off, I could see they were going to start fighting again. So it was our responsibility to go the whole way.
You have done a great job there. I would get up and stop a fight if it was on the restaurant tray. That's when I would I go, come on, guys, at least finish your entrees here. Someone's going to have their eye out. isn't there a talking tram somewhere?
A talking tram?
Yeah, some Ballarat.
Is it? Bendigo, I believe, has got the talking tram.
Oh, so
yeah.
I'm from Ballarat, mate.
Okay, I'll
be good. But what's Ballarat's big?
There's one around, goes halfway around the lake, Lake Wendouree, but
it's just too boring to finish.
It stops. Yeah, they pull all the trams out back in the early 70s. But Bendigo has the talking tram.
What's Ballarat
got? What does it say? What does the talking tram say?
Get off me!
Yeah. Stop fighting!
Get off me! Hey, fatty, up the back. In seat 2G. You really started to shit me. What would it say? Yep, here we are, stuck in Bendigo. So are you looking forward to it?
I
do you know names?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a hands-on grandma?
It's a boy, and yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and, I don't know, but something I did this morning, which was weird, because I'd had a few wines, and it was I couldn't sleep, 2 a.m. in the morning, and I tweeted, there was a chap send out a tweet, I don't know him, but, you know, you're feeling blue. Could you send animal pictures? You know, one of those.
No, hang on. What's going on?
Well,
you've
you
had
know
a couple
when,
of wines.
Well, and I look at Twitter and there's a chat on
what
there.
What time is it?
2 a.m.
2 a.m.
And mind you, he'd sent the tweet a long time before that.
And to you? Was it a personal tweet?
No, just out to the world.
Right.
Feeling a bit sad, got COVID blues, whatever. Could you send animal pics? And I haven't got a pet. I haven't got any animal pets.
Oh, okay.
So I sent him a picture of the cardigan I'd knitted for the baby, thinking this will cheer him up, like a lovely, because it's a, Mick, I don't know whether you appreciate that. Well, Dave,
yes.
It's a cowl-necked cardigan.
I can see that, yeah.
With a Fair Isle pattern. And
a little bonnet to go with it.
Yes, and a little cap. My daughter, I gave it to her.
That's got Brotherhood Bin Sheikh written all over it.
Well, she thought a banker. She said, do you think my kid's going to be a kind of old-fashioned banker?
Hang on, but boy, he's asking for animal pictures. Why would you send a picture of a cardigan?
Well,
I don't understand.
Because,
how he would...
Oh, well, you wouldn't understand because you're underdeveloped. If you were a man who was really developed.
Well, I suppose it was part of an animal, wasn't it? It was wool. It was a sheep. Yeah. In a way, you're sending him a sheep.
That's very well made, by the way.
It is.
And, really well.
Would you make me if I asked you nicely and politely, would you make me one of those?
Do you know how long it would take in a Fair Isle cardigan?
Oh, well,
to
that's
fit
a Fair Isle cardigan.
No, you'd look
get
very good.
The old
good
dude
in
cover
a,
out, is that
a,
it?
A Fair Isle.
You'd have a good cowl neck with yours as well.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
What's a cowl neck?
The cowl neck is like a sort
of
rolled
over.
Don't take
the tone. Just explain it.
No, all right. It's a rolled neck thing. And this is pretty sexy.
Pretty skivvy.
When I was knitting it, I didn't understand the instructions and, in fact, I cried. And John said, why don't you read out the instructions and I will draw a visual diagram of
you've been in lockdown for too long. This looks like you've been at it for longer than 23 weeks. It looks like you had inside word about this baby before.
I knit.
You go bonkers?
Yeah.
Baby names? Physically,
I don't move at all, but I can clickety-clack those knitting needles like a
mad woman.
I don't know. I haven't asked.
Hieronymus. Mm. That'd be good.
Hieronymus. Yes, would look good in that cardigan too. Suit that cardigan.
Look out. Here comes Hieronymus.
What about Pantera? I mean, that's... Slayer.
Just ignore that.
Yeah, I don't even get... Is there a reference I'm missing?
There is. From yesterday. There is.
Oh, well, of course I listen.
Hang about. We're more with Denise after this.
You got it. It's Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
It is always fantastic to have Denise Scott, who's often a regular on Have You Been Paying Attention? You must be coming up again soon.
I saw her last week flirting outrageously with Dr. Norman Swan. Explain yourself. Have we got a grab? I think we've got a grab here. Have a listen.
Judith, Lucy and I did a Zoom cast and we had cushions made, one with your face and one with your son's face, Jonathan Swan. And so we sat on your face and... and enjoyed it and respect you enormously.
That must have been the day I blushed without knowing why.
What a good sport.
What's the attraction with Dr. Norman Swan? I believe he's very intelligent and smart and wonderful. But...
Because I think it's because of his doctoring.
Okay.
You know, he's saving us, a bit of a COVID savior.
Ah, so he's right now, he's like a superhero.
Yes, a superhero. And let's face it, a Scottish accent doesn't go astray either. And I got very excited because his son, who is the journalist, Washington journalist, who was famous for having one-on-one with Trump and really...
Jonathan Swan.
He retweeted that bit of footage saying, deeply disturbing content. And, of course, that went out in America and they're all, like, horrified that this woman would be so disrespectful, saying she sat on the doctor's face. How dare she?
Maybe you could make me a pillow. Don't forget the cardigan. I'll have a...
With your face on it.
Well, no, maybe it's not working out. Hey, speaking of disturbing material, are you aware of the show on Netflix? It's called Sex Life. And all the girls here at the station and the studio have lost their minds over the size of one of the actors' penises. Basically, all the men walk around naked. Mm. And one of the guys apparently has a, I don't know how to put this delicately, a massive wang. And there's only a couple of us who can say that with confidence.
Yes,
Richard Wilkins, and this guy.
So are you asking me what? Have you seen it?
I'm sure you would have. You've got your 50 Shades of Grey on your bedside table. I know that's your
That's my go-to.
That's your go-to. But I wonder,
when I'm thinking about Norman Swan, my go-to read.
Well, if you imagine Norman Swan, okay, Whitney, come in here. I want to show it to because I've been getting everyone.
Has Whitney got a massive?
Hang on.
Whitney's the one pushing this on everyone.
Okay.
So we'll just get your reaction to it. What's Denise got in front of her?
All right, Denise, to set up the scene, the husband of this woman has followed the ex-boyfriend into the shower to get a look at what all the fuss is about and what his wife is missing.
Uh-huh,
and
yes.
You'll soon discover what that is.
Ready. Do I need Ventolin? I'm watching. So, he's in the shower.
Yeah.
I've got my... Oh, good grief! I need my Ventolin. I've never seen anything.
His face is so disappointed.
Defibrillator.
We need a defibrillator, please, to studio too. Now imagine that on Dr. Norman Swan.
No, Mick, you're taking it too far now. There's no need for that.
All right.
That's an extraordinary. I feel enlivened. Is that the
word? A spring in your step. Maybe you could knit him some underpants. That'll take longer than this sweater, I reckon.
It's not normal.
It's not normal. And how does it fit?
For another time. I'm sorry to spring that on you, but I did want to get your genuine reaction to something that's been going on in the office.
I can see why the ladies are losing their minds.
That's right. That's right.
And,
making Dave feel a little inadequate, I've got to say.
How dare you?
You know, because... We generally don't flaunt it.
Size means nothing to me.
Did you ever go to the male strippers? Did you ever go to the, like, your Chippendales?
Back in the Steve Vizard days, you know, Tonight Show.
Yes, Tonight
where the PA, she had an engagement party, and so a few of the girls from the Steve Vizard show staff were in this lounge room. It was the saddest thing. This guy comes along, you know, and he's got his police uniform on.
Right. Yeah.
We're just all sitting there, like, staring at him, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he waves
starts
his...
starts getting jiggy with it.
...dick around. Is right. Are we allowed to say that?
You I don't can know, say penis. It.
And we just were completely unmoved by the whole thing.
What was he? What did, was his persona? He was a policeman.
Policeman, yes.
I think I would be the naval officer.
Would you?
Do you know they'll have a kind of, they'll be like an army guide, but the policeman.
Is there a... No, they don't.
There's a construction worker. Sounds a bit Village People, but yes. There's got to be a construction worker.
Yes, yes.
Cowboy? I think I would be the naval officer in a white suit and a hat.
Why are you even contemplating this?
Well, you know.
I guess you've got to fill in the time here somehow, but you as a naval
need a backup
officer
plan.
Stripping.
All right, we've gone too far.
We have.
I'm sorry, it's been a big day. We've come in, we've shocked you. And what do you got to plug? What do you
Well, I'm not on the show anymore, but I will be there for the 2000th episode of Studio 10.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Wow. And you would have come across Jonathan Coleman in your travels.
Jonathan Coleman. When I started on Studio 10, it really was amazing. I have never, ever met a person in show business who is so adored and so loved.
He's not a ripper.
Not a word against
Agreed.
Him. And I've never, he was happy to run around naked. There was a man who was happy to get his clothes off. Didn't matter.
Didn't quite have the same dimensions as the other fella, but, you know.
Wow. He was an awesome, beautiful man.
He was a great guy.
And very,
he was a team player.
I always used to
love running into him. Yeah. And in this particular industry, in radio in particular, one of the great broadcasters, both here and in England. So he was a giant. So good on him. We'll be missed. You'll have fun. 2000?
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good luck to that. Yeah. What a flagship show. Thanks for coming in.
Denise Scott joining us.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Thanks to Crown Forklifts. There's nothing like a Crown Forklift for picking it up and putting it down. Head to crown.com.
Do it.
All right.
We're not asking. We're telling you to do it. And tell them I sent you. Go down there and say, hey. Oh. Mickey said it was cool.
Bit of personalised.
I've got a bit of pull down there.
Do you?
Might be able to do you a deal. Just get in there, say, hey.
Looking at a forklift.
Mickey said to give you a call, swing by, involved, get in the forklift business. Have we got the jingle?
Oh, of course we do.
There is nothing like a Crown for picking it up and putting it
down. I hear that jingle. And when I'm in the car heading home, that's all I'm singing all the way home.
Well, that's right.
It's in your head.
See, I think jingle is not appropriate. It's more of an anthem. Like, to
you
me,
you're right.
It's an anthem. To me, it's such an iconic brand, the Crown.
Yeah.
That could be our national anthem. All rise for the national anthem.
There is nothing like a Crown for picking it up and putting it down.
Wouldn't that be a great occasion?
Imagine the whole crowd. You're at a football stadium or wherever you are with all your mates. What?
We're at the Tokyo Olympics.
Oh, my God.
Australia have just won on the pedestal. They raise the flag. Everyone.
There is nothing like a Crown for picking it up and putting it down.
That is patriotic.
How good would
that bring
be?
A tear to your eye.
That brings a tear to my eye even thinking about
my God,
it. Can I,
Crown.
Speaking of patriotic, and I just, you know what? I know a few of the guys down there. And anyone on the team at Crown who's listening, keep up the good work.
Yeah, yeah.
This, I'm genuinely moved by this. So we're all in lockdown.
Yeah.
Okay. In different parts of the country. There's been so many restrictions and border closures and stuff. Who do you think is basically key in delivering all the stuff backstage, all the stuff you don't see? You see all the stuff when it's on the shelves. But
you're right.
Whether it's Woolies or any other supermarkets or IKEA or whatever, these guys are backstage doing all the heavy lifting, the forklift is designed to do. They are keeping the supplies running, the supply lines open, keeping you...
They're frontline workers, they are
essential. Yeah. Crown anyone who drives a forklift, is, as far as I'm concerned, is an essential worker.
Well done, Crown.
Get involved. Great people, great company. Come on.
There is nothing like a crown.
Crown.com and tell them Mick sent you. It's Malloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Well, you're just about done for the day.
Yeah.
Your front bar back on Channel 7 tonight.
That's right. 9 o'clock or thereabouts. Check your local guides.
Yes.
We will be on special guest Jack Riewoldt. So you'll see how excited I am.
Yeah, 300.
300 games, an out-and-out champion,
yep.
Three flags, three more than his brother, Nick.
Come on, Nick. Cousin, isn't it?
He's, well, his cousin,
pardon me. Yeah.
He's sung with the Killers.
He
He's
did.
Done it all.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a ripping fellow.
Seems like a good bloke.
On and off the field.
Yeah.
And I'll be a little fanboy tonight.
Yeah, nice. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
He's an absolute Richmond legend.
And the team's back. You, Sam and Andy, you're all back
together.
We're
all back on deck. And we've got one of the songs from football favourites.
Oh,
footy favourites.
Yeah,
yeah, you know.
I know it.
Well, the song is... No, I won't. I'll leave it as a bit of a surprise. Who's on tomorrow?
All right, tomorrow on this very show, we're going to be joined by Titus O'Reilly.
Bang.
Jim Jefferies is going to be with
love
us
it.
As well, which he'll be back
That's
home in LA.
Top shelf show, that one.
And it's been a Thursday Gone Wild as well.
Hello. It's a full deck, people.
Hey, it's been a massive show today with Denise Scott and all. So you can catch up with the podcast. If you missed any of the show, subscribe through the listener app or wherever your podcast. Back to Drive You Home again tomorrow with Malloy Triple M.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show podcast, and there's nothing like a Crown forklift for picking it up and putting it down. They're never far away from where you are in cities, suburbs and country towns across Australia, with guaranteed reliability and superior quality. Check them out at crown.com or call 131 604.